You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to William Hill's Boxing Podcast with the one and only Steve Bunt. Steve, have you come down yet from last weekend in LA? What a night. What a week.
No, I'll tell you the truth, I haven't. I mean, I'll be absolutely honest with you. And anyone that was there, anyone that witnessed the week, the fight, will probably tell you the same thing. You know, it was unbelievable. It was terrific. It was brilliant. It was everything, really. It was, you know, controversial at the end. It was this, it was that. People can start screaming and shouting and saying this and saying that. But I'm telling you, up close, and I was up close. I was actually on the ring apron, could hold the ring as I was listening in between each round. Hold the ropes, rather. Yeah, it was an amazing event. Mm. Let's hope they do it instantly again.
Yes, interestingly enough, the odds are out for the series of fights that could happen. The rematch is priced up 6-5 Deontay Wilder, 4-6 Tyson Fury. So they've pretty much flipped, not exactly, but more or less. And the draw again is 20-1. From having seen what you saw there, Buncey, 4-6 for Tyson Fury looks a decent fight, because on any other night he would have won that, despite having been dropped twice.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, listen, you know, I thought he won it by 3 or 4 rounds, even with being dropped. But you're right, he doesn't get clipped. A different judge, a different referee. His timing's a bit better. I've got to be honest with you, I'd have him as a hefty favourite going into a rematch, which is one of the reasons I remain to be convinced that Wilder and his people want a rematch. Mm. So I'm waiting to be convinced. They've got something, and they can fight somebody in America, a nobody in America, or somebody in America. And because of his profile wide off from that fight, he'll do great business, and then they can do the rematch at some other point, in which case the rematch will still be big, and they just can't do the rematch in 3 years. So, they can do the rematch next November, for God's sake.
What's interesting here, Buncey, is, and I'm fascinated to get your thoughts on this, Anthony Joshua v. Tyson Fury. 8-13, Joshua. Fury 5-4. So he's the outsider there. Joshua versus Wilder, 4-11. Joshua, 2-1. Wilder. I kind of expected that Fury Joshua might have been a pick'em. I didn't think he'd be the outsider in that bout, given that we saw.
Well, it's the Joshua momentum. You know, it's there's been a slight dent in the Joshua bandwagon since last weekend's fight. A slight dent, but still people are backing him faithfully. And including the bookies. My personal opinion is that I've seen enough from Fury last weekend to tell me that him against Joshua is more than a pick'em. It's a really hard fight. Joshua might just be able to get to Wilder because he's a little bit more controlled, Joshua. But, you know, I'll tell you something about Wilder. He hits you anywhere above the shoulder blades and you're in trouble. Yeah. It's that simple. He hits you clean or even illegally like he did to Fury around the back of the head. He hits you clean, you're gone, you're hurt, and he will hit Joshua. It'll be all down to Joshua's ability to recover. We've seen him recover against Vladimir when he was dropped and gone and bounced back up. So we've seen him do it once, he'll have to do it again. That's a fact. And, you know, they're two terrific fights. You know, and I'll be really disappointed if the next fight Joshua has, the next fight Fury has, and the next fight Wilder has, not against any of them. That would be really disappointing. If they all three had different fights, then that would just, you know, that, even for a cold, callous business that we're in, we've got to see some of them fight each other, you know?
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, no disrespect. As fun a fight as Joshua is against Chisora, even the wildest Joshua fans will have to acknowledge that is really... You know, that's not the fight we want.
No.
Let's get it right. And if Wilder were to fight Dominic Brazil, we'd all say the same thing.
And if
Fury were to fight Pulev, we'd all say the same thing.
Yeah. But Joshua can't fight. Well, do you think Joshua will fight one of them in April? You're thinking he'll fight someone else in April, then after that fight,
He'll have to. And it'll be just really interesting for everybody to justify it. You know, because if Wilder hasn't signed to fight Fury, and if Fury hasn't signed to fight Wilder, then, you know, these guys who are meant to be geniuses, they're all millionaires at doing deals, but the people behind the scenes, why can't they make one of those fights happen? You know, you can't, not everyone can be guilty. Someone has to be guilty, but not everyone can be guilty. So if Wilder doesn't fight Joshua, you can't blame everybody in the Wilder camp, and the Wilder people can't blame everybody in the Joshua camp. It's just boring.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Yeah. It just gets boring. If everyone's at fault, it doesn't work that way. Someone, somewhere, has to be the person, even if he or she just whispers it, who says no. Mm. Well, I want to find out who that person is.
Yeah.
Wilder insists it's Joshua. Joshua himself. Joshua insists it's the various people behind Wilder. Fury doesn't give a monkey's.
Yeah, no,
it's good.
You don't care. Yeah, yeah. All good, all good. All to look forward to as well. We're going to stop in at Madison Square Garden in a minute, but first of all, let's go to Sheffield Arena, shall we? Where we've got Kell Brook topping the bill. But before we look at that one, there's loads on the undercard here, Buncey, but we won't look at too many of them because there's quite a lot of up and coming fighters who are quite short prices against, I guess, journeymen. But let's have a look at this. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just there's not much point in talking about it from a betting perspective. Let's have a look at John Joe Carroll first of all, though, against Guillaume Frenois, as I'm going to pronounce it. 9-4 for Frenois. Thank you, Buncey. 1-3 for John Joe Carroll. 20-1 the draw. Even more likely to mention that these days after last weekend. 16-0 is John Joe Carroll, obviously the Irishman. 3 KOs in his record there. His opponent, Frenchman, 46-1. Is 12 KOs in his list. His one loss came way back in 2013, Buncey. Interesting fight, this one, from a betting perspective, because it is quite close. You know, not that many people outside of the absolute boxing aficionados. This might not, you know, make them think, oh, yeah, John Joe Carroll versus Guillaume Frenois, that's a good fight. But this could be a cracker, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, John Joe Carroll's in fights that are great fights.
Yeah.
He's in these. He's the most crowd-friendly. He's one of the most crowd-friendly fighters we've got in the UK and Ireland at the moment. He's not in a bad fight. You know, I'm a massive fan of his. Maybe throws too many punches and doesn't plant his feet enough to generate the power that would give him more stoppages, because he's a better banger than those statistics suggest. He is a guy that's bounced between promoters, and I've no idea why. Perhaps he's difficult to deal with, I don't know. But he's a dream to deal with as the media. He's so media savvy, he's fight friendly, he's fan friendly. I fancy he wins this, I fancy he wins it on points, and let's just hope it pushes him towards something, because he is, I tell you what, he's everything you want in a fighter. He's good to watch and he's good to talk to. So I'm going to go John Joe on points.
Yeah. Let's have a look at Kell Brook next up, fighting Michael Zarafa. Brook himself, 37-2, 26 KOs in those 37 wins. The two KOs come against Errol Spence Jr., of course, and Gennady Golovkin. He's since beaten Rabshanka since then, and this is his second fight since that loss. So, you know, the Errol Spence Jr. loss was back in May 2017. He's never been the most regular fighter in recent years, to be honest with you. And we all want the fight with Amir Khan, of course. His opponent, 25-2. He's been stopped once himself back in 2015 by Peter Quillen. This guy fights out of Melbourne, Australia, Buncey, so he's got a big old trip coming over here. Again, you know, not many might not know this guy's name. This is a treading water fight for Kell, getting back in the ring, bit of confidence. He's 1-50 here. Zarafa is 12-1, the draw 33. Kell Brook to win by decision is 7-2, by the way.
You know, I'm a massive Kell Brook fan. I've been backing him since he was an 11-year-old kid, and I've written about him since he was 11 and 12. You can go and find that. That's documented. I've backed him for all of his world title fights. It's the first man inside BoxRec's top 30 that Kell Brook has fought at light middleweight. Kell Brook's ranked at number 6. He hasn't fought anybody inside the top 30. Zarafa's ranked at 29. So at least it justifies Kell Brook's top 30 ranking. He'll get to him in 7 or 8 rounds. He's tough, Zarafa, and obviously Quillen's a big old middleweight. But I fancy Kell, and I fancy him in 6 or 7 rounds. But I've got to tell you, if it was his last fight, and it was a homecoming last fight send-off, then it's a different. That's like the match you get at the end of your football career. That's great, but it's not. This was the fight before he got Amir Khan, in theory, or before he gets something else.
Yeah. 8-11 to beat Amir Khan. 11-10 Amir Khan to beat Kel Brook. 20-1
the
draw.
Those are proper odds, aren't they?
Hopefully that happens in 2019, Buncey. But I'm not holding my breath. Let's have a look at one of the poster boys of modern boxing. Vasyl Lomachenko fighting this weekend against Jose Pedraza. Lomachenko 1-33, Buncey.
Wow, that's amazing because this is a really hard fight.
Yeah,
how can it be 1-33?
Well, Pedraza's 10-1. Then we've got all the various kind of group round betting and all the rest of it. We've got all that on the Kell Brook fight as well. If you want to kind of delve in a little bit deeper on some of the odds for the Kell Brook stoppage. It's amazing when you talk about Lomachenko, Buncey, because you know the way we all talk about him and mentally, I'm always quite surprised when I look at his record again. 11-1. Yeah, it doesn't look like a record of the greatest boxer on the planet, does it? 11-1, 9 stoppages. Obviously, he's been involved in you know brilliant fights from day one, pretty much. He lost to Orlando Salido in his second pro fight after that illustrious amateur career, but kind of old manned a little bit out of that one by Salido.
Yeah,
since then, he's been nothing but sensational, really, Buncey. Pedraza, 25-1. His one stoppage came a TKO against Joanta Davis back in early 2017. Another tough fight, Buncey. But does Pedraza offer anything that Lomachenko can't deal with?
Yes, a bit of size. Hmm. Not that he can't deal with, but you know he gives him like the Linares. They give him a really stiff test. It's just you know Pedraza's a good fighter. You know he's a really good fighter. He got done by Joanta Davis, but Joanta Davis, if his head's right, is an exceptional fighter.
Absolutely.
And for a champion like Lomachenko to be in with another champion like Pedraza at 1-33, well, I tell you what, I'm struggling to find a fight in history where two really good champions with one defeat each have fought each other and the odds would be like that. It's quite staggering.
But it's kind of like the bookies are doing what the bookies do, you know, pricing it up, but it's quite disrespectful really to Pedraza, isn't it?
Of course it is. You understand why the book's 1-50 because he's fighting a guy that's got no chance, no hope and got no form. Pedraza 1-33. Oh, sorry, Lomachenko at 1-33. It just shows what level this guy is operating at. Wow, I mean that's quite amazing.
Buncey, I know every boxer goes into a fight thinking they can win, but will there be many in the Pedraza camp putting money on 10-1?
Oh, absolutely, they will. Yeah, because they'll see things. They'll hope they'll get Lomachenko. Listen, let's get it right. Pedraza needs Lomachenko on a bad day. Pedraza needs to try and show that strength. It wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all if they go for a bit of bullying. Trying to do that. That was Salido's plan. But that was a long while ago. And in boxing years, it might as well have been decades ago because he has improved beyond belief since then, Lomachenko. So you've got to take a risk against Lomachenko. You've got to push him. And you've got to try. And you've got to be brave and you've got to be bold. And several people against him haven't been brave, haven't been bold. They've quit. You know, there's three fighters now have just quit.
Mm.
Quit without taking a beating. They just decided it's pointless continuing. Well, hey ho, that's the nature of the boxing beast. That's why we're on the safe side of the ropes, and that's why they're on the dangerous side of the ropes.
Yeah.
And that's why we write about them and they don't write about us. And we talk about them and they don't talk about us. And why we film them and they don't film us. They're the heroes. They're the stars. And there's something that comes alongside being a hero and a star. And that's about commitment, and you have to push it. Otherwise, change sports. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating people leave the ring damaged, but I am advocating that people leave the ring having tried their best.
Yeah.
Several people against Lomachenko have not tried their best. Yeah. That's a fact.
Yeah, Rigondeaux being the kind of the most
Absolutely.
Obvious one of those.
Oh, Nicholas Waters, I think, was worse, because he basically turned away mid-flight.
Yeah, yeah.
So I fancy that Pedraza will give it a shot. I really fancy Pedraza will give it a shot. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he'll give it a shot. In fact, I'd half thought that I would go for Lomachenko on points, which is a degree of respect for Pedraza. And then I hear it's 1-33, and I'm thinking, am I that wrong? Because if a guy gets pushed to points, that's not 1-33. 1-33 means he just gets out of the first six rounds. 1-50, like the Brook thing, means he doesn't get out of the first six rounds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm going Lomachenko on points. I'm going Brook in about six or seven rounds. Boy, oh boy. And I'm going John Joe on points.
How about this, Buncey? I'll put this together for you. So let's go you can have Brook in the first half of the fight, going on what you've just said there about the 1-50 and 1-33. Lomachenko to win it in the second half of the fight. That's 7-4, by the way, and 7 of Lomachenko's stoppages have been, of his 9 stoppages, have been in the second half of the fight. So yeah, I think that's I think that's a decent price at 7-4. That's 4-1, and if you 4-1 for that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so Kell Brook rounds 1-6 stoppage, Lomachenko rounds 7-12 stoppage, 4-1.
That's all right.
Can't argue with that, Bunty, can you? When we're talking about a 1-50 and a 1-33 shot, I like that.
That's not bad.
I might have a bet on that myself this weekend. Oh. Bunty, thanks as ever. We'll speak to you ahead of the upcoming fights. We've got some brilliant fights to finish the year, haven't we?
Oh,
Chisora White, sponsored by some sort of laxative, I'm sure, by the time the fight comes round. And of course, we've also got Josh Warrington trying to do the unexpected once again, this time against Carl Frampton. So all to come in December. Bunty, enjoy the weekend and we'll speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.